Case number 12998, Selco Partnership Verizon Wireless seeks a special use exception to place a telecommunications tower, sections 115.25, 115.194.2, and 115.210 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the north and south side of Falling Point Road, southwest of Ballast Point Road. The 911 address is 32292 Falling Point Road in Dagsboro. The zoning district is AR1. The tax parcel is District 134, Map 6, Parcel 172. We have 8 letters of support, 2 letters of opposition, and 1 mail return on this application.
Good evening again. Long time, members of the board. John Tracy on behalf of the applicant. I do have the same cast of characters with me who've been sworn in, Ms. Manchel, Mr. Grauert, and Mr. Peterson. What I would like to do with Mr. Sharp's indulgence and perhaps to kind of truncate this a little bit is to move into the record the testimony that was offered for the last application regarding the need and the expansion for these facilities, property values, and other general topics that we covered there. We will hit the specifics on this one, but that would at least perhaps save a little bit of time on that.
Please. I think we could try to truncate it. I'm not sure how we're going to be able to bifurcate some of that testimony and bring it in.
Well, I'll hit the specifics on this particular site in terms of...
But if you wanted the... I know you submitted some studies. We could put that same study in for this one so that that is submitted into the record so that we have that.
Correct. Yeah, it would basically be the preliminary testimony regarding the general need for these facilities and the expansion of services that have occurred in the area, as well as the property value data that I had submitted as well, so we don't have to go through that again. As I said, I will talk about the specifics of this site. We did submit independent reports that the board has for this particular site, the standard RF engineering reports. There's a individual site plan for this particular site as well. So with that, what I will do, the general specifics of this, you see the property highlighted on the board there. It's actually a property that's split by Falling Point Road with most of the farm property sitting, what I will say, is below the road. This is a 150-foot tall tower to the top of the 5-foot lightning rod. As you can see, it's engaged in active agricultural uses. It has some other non-agricultural uses in its immediate proximity. You can see agricultural uses on the periphery, forested lands below, and then residential subdivisions around. Incidentally, a number of the letters that came in support, which I'd had nothing to do with in terms of generating, actually came from that community that's to the immediate left of the property that you have there. Again, like the last application, this application is maintaining all required setbacks. It's lighting itself and enclosing the property in accordance with the Sussex County Code, so no variances are going to be required for this application either. It is just a special use permit. What I'm going to do is bring Mr. Peterson up and just talk specifically about this particular site. Again, Andy's credentials were discussed at the last hearing, and what Verizon's generally looking for in terms of trying to address these situations. Andy, I'm correct, am I not, that this is actually a coverage site as opposed to necessarily a capacity site?
That's right. Yeah, this is a bit simpler when it comes to the objective. There's a lack of coverage here. The capacity demand is not what it is in, you know, as it was in the case of the other site. But there is certainly a significant stretch here of 26 and the areas surrounding that have unreliable coverage.
And in this instance, you performed a 2-mile study around the area. I guess first looking at this map, which is also in the RF report, you're again identifying existing facilities in this area with the exclusion of Vines Creek, which is what's before the board tonight, where Verizon is currently located, correct?
That's correct.
And in this instance, there were no structures within 2 miles. There was one structure just outside of 2 miles that of course falls outside of the required search area, but also would not satisfy the concerns that we had, correct?
That's correct. There's a 200-foot guide tower, just beyond 2 miles south, in roughly the area here where I'm indicating, which is south of, I can't read the name of that road there. Omar Road, perhaps?
Yeah, Omar Road.
But that, of course, is beyond the 2 miles and wouldn't meet our need if we were to co-locate upon it.
So we've discussed here that this is showing a rather obvious gap in coverage that exists for reliable in vehicle and in building coverage. In fact, it was something noted, I think, in many of the emails that the board received, because I reviewed those much as I did the last one and saw people expressing concern. Why don't you show the board walk them through the change in service if we actually construct this facility?
Sure. So similar to the last set of before and after coverage plots, we have first and foremost the map, and then we have the existing Verizon Wireless facilities with the black targeted icons. Then we have the location of the proposed facility, in this case, the internal name being Vines Creek. Then the yellow areas of strong in vehicle, green areas of strong in building coverage, and then the areas where neither exist, which indicate Verizon Wireless subscribers having inadequate coverage to provide service to them in either of those two surroundings. So if we activate the site, and this is now page 3 of the design report, we're illustrating the improved coverage, most notably along 26 and the surrounding areas, northward to the water and southward down to Omar Road, which was mentioned earlier.
And we don't have best server coverage maps in this instance because, again, this is not a capacity issue. So you don't have overloaded existing facilities. This is truly the old Verizon, can you hear me now effect in this particular area, correct?
That's right. We typically only show those when we are looking to demonstrate what sectors are covering where, as we did with the last one, and then we have the data on those particular sectors that show they're overloaded or projected to become overloaded. In this case, we don't really, we don't have a capacity issue here, so the evidence is moot.
And again, you also prepared a RF emissions report, and is it correct that, again, using all of those same worst-case factors when you create these reports that you did for the previous one, that we are significantly below the permitted FCC emissions level?
That's correct.
And again, once you meet that level, absent evidence to the contrary, the board can't take into effect the health effects pursuant to the FTC requirements.
Correct.
And then again, you also did an FAA report for this particular facility, correct?
I did, yes.
Did this require lighting or marking by FAA requirements?
No, it would not require lighting or marking per FAA, but again, we will light according to county requirements.
Does anyone have any questions for Andy?
So if there's not a tower put somewhere in this area, that's going to just continue to just be a dead spot. Is that what I'm understanding from you saying this is a coverage rather than a overload kind of deal? Is what I'm looking at.
Right. We need
basically dead spot right there. This is pretty legit here. Over on that other side in the town of Dagsboro and Holiday Acres is all you're trying to connect those spots, like bang off the towers and all.
Right. Yeah, we're basically bridging this gap between kind of the Millville and Dagsboro areas, where there is just a lack of coverage.
Do you know about a square mile area of, or if there isn't even a square mile area that will bring into coverage?
Well, yeah, this is about a 2 mile, two and a half mile stretch of 26 here. There's a scale down here. So
you know, if we say this is a mile radius or so, pi r, so it's, you know, roughly 3-4 square miles of solid green, you know, strong in-building coverage, if I'm doing my pi r squared right.
That's all that one antenna will give you?
Well, that's the strong in-building area. Yeah, we really get only about a mile of that robust, strong, you know, in-building. Now, the in-vehicle coverage footprint will extend further. The thing is with these facilities, they're uplink limited. So, you know, we heard some, on the prior application, we heard about, you know, VHF transmission and, you know, going 2 miles and things like that. And there's other, you know, radio, AM radio goes even much further than that, things like that. When we talk about broadcast transmission, that's, you know, one way from an antenna out to the subscribers. We're limited by the power of the device. With its little battery and little antenna, not a whole lot of juice there, even if we compare that to...
See, when I grew up back in the 80s and cell phones first came out in cars, you see them big antennas on top of cars like that.
That's where I was just going. We used to have car kit. Yeah, we had car kit adapters, and we had you know, the big airstrike type phones and bag phones with a lot more power. We don't have those anymore. And frankly, the way things have matured, we wouldn't want them anymore because we don't want sites covering that far because there's just too many subscribers in a big area like that, so our resources can't handle them. So it's kind of this maturation on both sides of the network, but it's really the device. If we just wanted to build coverage, if we didn't have any capacity concerns ever, it would be kind of a different network topology. But in a case like this where we do have, you know, only coverage, well, on either side, we've got areas that are much more dense, so we do have capacity concerns. So we can't have those sites screaming for miles and miles anyway.
Well, why on the maps is it more like a paint splatter rather than circular?
Well, the propagation model, it's pretty sophisticated, so it's not just looking at line of sight. Even though this, you know, like most of Delaware, this is a pretty flat area, or southern Delaware anyway. But what the propagation model takes into account is any man-made or environmental clutter that's on top of the landscape, so tree lines, buildings, roadways, anything like that is going to affect the way it propagates. And then there's some antenna pattern associated with each of the sectors where that's also going to affect how things look.
I know a farmer with grain tanks down there that would love to have this one, love the Rancho location right there.
In the last 6 months, I think we approved a tower for the Cripple Creek area. Is that reflected on here?
I'm sorry, the
the tower, is that reflected on here?
I don't see it on here. I have to go back and look and see exactly where that is in relation.
It would probably be up and to your left. I don't know, it would be more over and up.
I could probably pull it up on my computer pretty quickly. Yes. Yeah, I imagine it's off the map.
No, it's over on this other side.
Oh, over here.
I'm very familiar with this area. It's right there, and that's about where the tower that you were just approved for about 6 months ago was there.
Right, where I'm, okay.
Yeah, it's not, I'm assuming it's not up yet.
Yeah, no, it's not on the air yet. I'm not sure, I can find out exactly where it is.
I'd be interested to know how that fills in the dots itself, myself. Because I know that was approved probably 6 months ago.
It's probably filling that yellow area that you see that's currently yellow.
No doubt, knowing this area, that is a complete dead spot. So, thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Peterson?
Sure. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Brower, if you could come up here for just a moment. Again, as you're approaching the dais, you can confirm that you are the civil engineer responsible for these drawings.
Yes, that's correct.
We submitted some aerial photographs for the property.
And I think you saw it even earlier with the picture that the county pulled up. You can see it on the inset there. There's a very heavy tree line that runs along. I'm going to say I can almost figure out that that's the eastern side of the property?
Yes, that's correct. This is the wooded area here.
Okay. And again, you're showing our compound right in there. We're going to be cutting in a new driveway off of Falling Point Road and going again just into the tree line?
Yes, that's correct. There's a dirt drive that goes back there now. We'll be putting stone down for that and improving that back to the site. And then the tree, the trees will be cleared just for that inset of where the compound will be.
Okay. And again, this site, like we heard on the last one, and I think it's even apparent from the aerial photographs, is impacted by wetlands to the east of, on the eastern side of the property. And again, we are staying out of those wetlands, correct?
That's correct. Those wetlands were delineated and picked up by the surveyors. They are shown right in here to the east of the site. And then the 30-foot buffer is also shown. It's rather faint on this board, but we are outside of that buffer.
Okay. And then you have a couple of aerial photographs, just again, driving by the site. These were submitted to the board as well. If you could, again, just kind of orient the board to the locations as well.
Sure. So photo location one is from Falling Point Road. Looking east towards the site, you can see the business, the adjacent property right there. So the tree line that we're locating within is shown right there. So we're slightly back, set back from the road. Photo location two is from Falling Point Road, and this is closer to that tree line. The site will be located within those trees back there. Photo location three is also from Falling Point Road. It's looking west, and you can see that existing dirt drive that's right there. So that will be the entrance to the facility, which would be located on the left side there. And then photo location four is also from Falling Point Road. And this orients slightly to the north, which shows a pretty mature evergreen hedge that does run on the north side of that field.
So there's some visual screening for people traveling up and down the road in that particular area with the existing tree line that's not being affected by what we're doing, correct?
Correct. We're not impacting that.
And then again, just to confirm, in our prior application, you presented testimony regarding warning lights, the amount of trips that would be in and out of the facility, the fencing around the tower, and again, the structural requirements for these. Knowing what you testified to in the prior hearing, is there any change to that testimony here or anything different about this site?
No, we will have the same design, obviously with the site-specific constraints considered. I think the wind speed here is a mile per hour higher with 122. But this will be designed in the same code, site-specific considerations, geotechnical evaluation at the site.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Grabler?
No, thank you. Go ahead. We're good, sir. Thank you.
So again, that's essentially the application. I tried to keep it short because I don't want to be redundant over what we said at the last one. At the last hearing, again, this is one that's somewhat aided by, I think, some of the communications that the board received, which, again, I did not solicit and were not involved in, but clearly people there recognize that there's an existing issue. You probably recognize it, Mr. Williamson, from what you were talking about. But obviously a number of folks who live in the area were discussing the fact that they have poor coverage and there was a need for this type of facility. So with that, and we do not believe there's any substantially adverse impact on folks in this particular area, based not only on what you've heard introduced in the prior hearing, but what we've done here. This is a more remote area. It's further away from residential properties. Again, a number of the supportive emails came from the community that is there to the west of the property. So again, we think they're I said not everybody loves these things, but you know, we have to do with what we have to do. This is a much bigger property, and we obviously have the ability, again, to take advantage of some of that existing tree line in order to locate this facility. So we'd be happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Sharp, anything? Thanks.
All right, thank you.
Is anyone present who would like to speak in favor of this case? Good evening. Mr. Sharp will swear you in.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
Jean Tunnell, 31288 Dogwood Estates Drive, Dagsboro, Delaware, 19939.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
I live in the development to the west of where the proposed tower is going. I did send it, one of the submissions electronically, but I wanted to be here tonight. We have basically terrible cell phone coverage. I have three little granddaughters living with me now. My husband's had a stroke. He has poor health. Most days, I cannot send a text message. I have to send it. I have to go outside my house, or I have to go down the street or across the street. My sister-in-law has called the doctor before for me because I can't do it. And I know you talked before about the internet. The only internet we have available is Mediacom, and it's terrible also. So when there's an emergency, my house phone doesn't work and I can't use my cell phone, that scares me. I know it's something that people aren't going to want to look at, but it is off in the woods. I mean, I could probably see it from my house, but I'm more concerned that I need cell phone coverage. And also, I don't know that my property value is going to be hurt, because if anybody comes in there and is trying to use their cell phone, most cell phone companies do not work in that area. So I just felt I wanted to be here tonight to say I can't count on my internet either, and I can't count on my house phone. So I'd like to be able to at least have my cell phone that I could use. Thank you.
Thank you.
I got one quick question. They said there was some positive feedback from the community. Have you, has that been your understanding? Have you talked to neighbors?
Yes, my sister-in-law is the HOA president for Dogwood Acres, and she said she would be here tonight, but she's out of town. She's had the same feedback from her development. She had one person in her development that basically just said no, but didn't give a reason for it. And like I said, I know that there people are opposed to it because they're worried about property values, et cetera. But if you can't use your cell phone, why would you want to live there? And it's bad. We added rooms upstairs. I can't use the phone upstairs in my own house. And like I said, that scares me, especially with my three little granddaughters living with us now.
Understood.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor of this case? Would you like to come forward and be sworn in, sir?
And while this gentleman's coming up, is there anybody who's in support who wishes to be, doesn't want to speak, but wishes, just wants to put their hand up? Looks like we have four total in support, two who are going to speak. Thank you. Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
My name is Stephen Kordek. I live at 32498 Beachball Court in Dogwood Estates.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
I have to reiterate what the previous speaker spoke of. And we've been there for 23 years. And when we moved in, the cell service was horrible. We were trying to communicate with people in our old neighborhood. Had to go outside the house just to communicate. My wife has had several surgeries over the last year, just dealing with the doctor's offices. We've had dropped calls, and it's been horrendous. And the same thing with the Mediacom service for the wireless communication. Doesn't work. Terrible. So I'm just here to reaffirm what she said. 100%. We're in a dead zone. I look at the news and I see people communicating in third world countries. I say, how in the world do they do it? We can't do it here in the U.S. of A. So that's it.
They have a lot more cell phone antennas in those third world countries.
That might be.
Anyone else who would like to speak in favor of this case? Would you like to speak, sir? You're welcome to come forward and be sworn in.
It appears we have five in favor.
Or I come for work.
That's all right. You state your name and address for the record, please.
David A. Mitchell. I'm the owner, or one of the owners, me and my brother.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Or will.
Thank
yes.
you.
Floor is yours, sir. You can speak. Floor
okay,
is yours.
I'm just here. All my neighbors, we've been saying for years, glad these two people showed up because they know what we all know. Service is dead. I have to walk around my house to the front door. It's a nightmare. It's been a nightmare for years. Mediacom is our internet provider. Same thing. Stream, stream, stream. Some days it's off for a day. It's been off as many as 3 days. We actually have Verizon still hardwired phone from the 80s or 90s. What a nightmare. Works when it wants. Sometimes we don't have a phone. I've been operating a couple businesses for years. What a nightmare playing with the internet. And it's no cell phone service whatsoever. It works when it wants. It doesn't work. So I think it's a good idea. And I know a lot of my neighbors, and I've only heard good stuff about it. So just figured I'd come up and say that.
Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
Anyone else want to speak in favor of this case? Is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition to this case? Anything else from the board? At this time, I'll close the public hearing for case 12998 for Selco Partnership, Verizon Wireless. Entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 12998 for Selco Partnership for Verizon Wireless. For the requested special use exemption, depending a final written decision based upon the record made during the public hearing, because the proposed use will not substantially affect adversely the uses of the neighboring and adjacent properties.
Second.
Motion and a second. Mr. Hastings.
Aye.
Dr. Carson.
Aye.
Mr. Williamson.
Aye.
And aye too. So a vote of 4-0, sir, your case is approved.